Well, God bless you and welcome to the Skype Fellowship, and we will begin. So I would like to ask Anna, would she be blessed to open up a word of prayer, please?
Yes. Thank you, Father, for the time that we are going to have in family and sharing and listen more things about you and your word, Father. Thank you so much for the privilege in these days to do that, and for Lawrence and Kim to make it available so we can be, it can be a place for our hearts and our lives, Father. Thank you so much for that and all the time that we are going together, and ones that came later, for taking care of our hearts, and all the things that we say are inspired and to edify and to love. Thank you so much for giving us a family, Father, in Christ's name.
Amen. Okay. So I think I'd like Kim to actually tell that testimony of this house, because it is such a blessing and God really is at work in our lives. You know what I mean? There's nothing that he won't do for us when we really go to him from a pure heart and just really trust him to take care of us. And, you know, he really does take care of us. And, well, I mean, really, we could all write a book of what he's done for us, you know. And so, Kim, I would like you to share the testimony of the house, please, darling.
Okay. So, for many years, we lived in what we classed here in England, the council house. So basically, you could go on the waiting list, and these houses were taken care of by your local council. And it was for people that were sort of like not in a position to buy their house, or just needed a temporary accommodation until they did go on to buy their house. It was just something that the government set up years and years and years ago to help people get on the property ladder. So me and Lawrence moved into our house, and it was down just around the corner from my mum, actually. And we lived there for quite a few years, and we were in an area that we wanted to get out of. The children were going to be moving on to secondary school, so I just gave it to God and said to God, you know, God, I know you blessed us with this house, but it's not in the area that we want the children to go to school, so can you bless us with another house? So anyway, a private one came up, and we moved into the private house for 2 years, and we paid private rent. And once you've given up your government house, you're very, very unlikely to get another one. Well, as it turned out, the landlord that we were renting from, he wanted to sell. It was his mum's house, and he wanted to sell it. And he gave us 3 months' notice. So I went to the council, and they said, well, you know, you've given up your house. It's very unlikely you're going to get another one. So just fill out these forms and just put the area that you would like to live. So I only put one area, because that was the area that the schools, we researched all the secondary schools. And my housing officer at the time, she said, Kim, it's just not possible. You have to put more areas down, otherwise you are not, you'll end up in bed and breakfast. So I went to God and I said, God, there's no way we're ending up in bed and breakfast. You know, you're not splitting us up. We are a family and we're working for you, and we're running fellowship, so it needs to be a good house. So anyway, Lawrence said, come on, Kim, we need to go look at other areas. And at that time, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Wow.
So things were really tough. We were in temporary accommodation, and we were looking for another place, believing God, searching areas. Carl, our oldest, was ready. He was about 5 months away from going to secondary school. So we got in the car one day, and we went for a little drive. And we'd always driven out this way, so we knew sort of roughly the area, but we didn't know it like if we were going to go and live in it. It was an area that we always traveled to with the kids, because there was always plenty of fields and farms, and It was a quiet little village. So we've driven around this village, and as we're coming in the back way, I said, stop the car. I said, that's where I want to live, up there, in that little tiny cul-de-sac. And Lawrence said to me, Kim, there's like 10 houses. You've got no chance. And I just sat in the car and I said, God, I know that anything is possible with you. And that's where I want to live. Up. I don't want the houses at the bottom. I want to live right up in the top of the cul-de-sac. And that was it. I just prayed that out loud. I didn't listen to Lawrence, even though there were only 10 houses in the whole of the village that was like run by the government. So anyway, I get back in the car and we drive home, and there's a tiny little piece of paper, and we were in temporary accommodation at that point. There was a tiny little piece of paper in the letterbox, and it was from my housing officer, and she said, Kim, this house has become available, but it's not on your list, but I think it would suit you and your family perfectly. Can you ring me? So I got straight on the phone to her, and I said, oh, I noticed that you found a house for me, but we were driving today and I saw a house in Pucklechurch. And she said, Kim, that's so strange, because there's a house just become available. She said, literally, like half an hour ago, I got the paperwork saying that this house is available in Pucklechurch. And I said to her, I said, well, can you tell me what number? She said, well, offhand, I don't know the number. She said, but I said, well, we're going to take it. It's of God. We're taking it. So she said, okay. She said, leave it with me and I'll sort the paperwork out. So anyway, me and Lawrence jump back in the car and we drive up to Pucklechurch. And the funny thing was that the house that was on the corner of the street had no curtains up. So Lawrence jumps out of the car and he sort of walks up the garden path and he puts his head against the window and he cups his hands so he could look in through the window, and this old lady sat in her chair. He nearly scared the life out of her. Anyway, she came to the door and he said, I'm ever so sorry, my love. He said, we've just been told that there's a house available here and we wanted to see what it was like. And she said, well, it's not my house, sir. She said, I've just taken my curtains down to wash them. So anyway, she said, well, I do know that the family that lived up in the top of the cul-de-sac have just moved out. She said, so perhaps you want to drive up into the cul-de-sac and have a look. So lo and behold, we drive up into the cul-de-sac, and right on the right-hand side, right up at the top, was this empty house. So I'm now jumping for joy. I mean, talk about God answering your prayers within like 30 minutes.
Wow.
So we've looked around the house. We can't see in it, but we've looked around it, and it's semi-detached. And I get back home and I ring the housing officer and I said, we've seen the house and we'll take it. She said, well, Kim, I must let you know that this house is going to be knocked down and rebuilt in about 2 years' time. She said, and I don't want you to go into this thinking that you're going to be there for the rest of your life. Basically, they're going to rebuild them, and if you want to come back to it, the house will be there for you. You can have it rebuilt to your specifications. She said, well, unfortunately, it didn't happen in 2 years. I think it was about eight years.
For a while.
We've been here since 2004, this new house. So that's 14 years, yeah. So it took about 4 years. And basically, we decided that we would be moving back here. And we got a big say in how we wanted it built. And obviously, the rent that they were charging was kept capped to our old rent. So the rent goes up every year, but it's only very little. And they had to keep it in the same price bracket
as
the old council.
Yeah,
because now it's a housing association now. But we got it rebuilt, and we moved back in 2004. In the 2 years that we were living in private accommodation, waiting for it to be rebuilt, we didn't have to pay any rent. That was all done for us because we moved out and we were moving back in here, so God took care of that one. And then we moved back into a brand new four-bedroom house in exactly the same place almost as our old house was, but we got it built to our specifications. So we ended up with a four-bedroom with two bathrooms and a big garden and central heating, well, just everything. Got a massive kitchen. God went over and above. But it just goes to show you the power of prayer. And when you pray something, God is always listening. And when you stay with faith, you pray with faith. You know, I didn't let Lawrence, you know, subtract me from my faith. When he said, Kim, there's 10 houses, you've got no chance. I thought, well, you can say I got no chance, but God says I got every chance.
And she was right on that occasion.
I'm right on a lot of occasions. I really am. And we've been here now. It was finished being built in the February 2004, so we've been here nearly 15 years this year.
Yeah.
Well, next February.
But it still feels like it's new, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've been in Puppet Church about 20 years, and it's a beautiful place. Absolutely beautiful.
That's great.
Sorry, Doug?
Yeah, we're in between. In fact, we're right in the countryside, but we're bordering on Bristol and Bath. So if you drive from our house to go into Bristol, it literally takes you 5 minutes down to the dual carriageway into Bristol, and the other way is about 10 minutes into Bath. But we got beautiful fields at the back of us, and we can take our dogs over there and run them in the fields.
It actually takes us about 30 minutes to get to Bristol town centre.
Yeah.
But only 20 minutes to Bath town centre. So we're closer to Bath, but they say we're in Bristol.
Yeah, we call it Chuckle Perch because we laugh how God got us the place.
Yeah.
Even though it's Puckle Church, that's the name of the area. Puckle
and
Church.
Plus, we're always happy. Yeah. Maya says that Nana's house is a happy house.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, someone told to me yesterday, a guy that is working there, it's a supplier from an engine or something, a spare part, and he's from Bath. I think it's the name he said.
Oh, Bath, yeah.
Yes, and he said it was a beautiful place.
Yeah,
it really is. I think he said, okay. He's an old guy, he's from there, but now, actually he's living now in Australia. But he was talking about the place you are talking to. He said it was really beautiful, and he was talking about Bristol and a lot of places near. And I was like, oh, he doesn't know that sometimes we... So every week we get on Skype to a fellowship with someone from Bristol or Bath.
Yeah,
it was really nice. Yeah.
Bath's very old. It's the Roman baths are still there. You know, when the Romans were here?
Yeah.
It's a very historical place, and they haven't changed it an awful lot. It's really been really protected. And if you want to build there, within the city, then it has to be built to certain specifications because they don't want to detract with new buildings and stuff. But Bath is absolutely beautiful. Yes. And the cathedral that's there in the middle, it's next amazing, to the Roman baths, is phenomenal. So if ever you want a weekend over into Bath, we're very happy to show you around. It is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
It's this type of stone they've got over there, isn't it? Yeah. Well,
the
in fact, actually, Kim Hybe come down earlier on in the year, and me and Jason took him down. So when you come next year, Pedro and Anna, that's my faith.
I always tell Hannah, watch out for what you're wishing, you know. Yeah. God is always open doors for
her. Yes. In the way home, I was telling him, I would like to go to Bristol to meet them before we go to France. And Pedro was saying, you don't know what the time they have or what they if they are at home or whatever. You say, oh, let's wait to see what God...
She was saying about for... we have the carnival.
Yes, carnival. We
don't holidays or stuff like that, you know, before.
Okay.
So it's like a long weekend
it
here in Portugal.
Yeah, come on over.
Yeah, with your
and Anna
car.
Is not working
drive.
That weekend.
You, I think you can even drive.
Yeah, with your new car, you can even drive.
Don't say it twice.
Well, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And when you're ready to come, let us know. And we take you into Bristol. You got
George
Muller. And so you got all his... We can take you to where... he believed God and he built these big buildings, you know, through the money that people blessed him with when he was praying to God.
It was the orphanage.
We can take you to the...
George Muller Foundation.
The George Muller Foundation place. Are you going to talk to me? Are you left?
No, sorry.
The George Muller Foundation. We can take you to John Wesley, which is right in the town centre. And right in the town centre is the... They've kept it the same, but it's amongst the shops. And you can go in there, you can see where he had his horse and all this stuff. So that's John Wesley, George Muller, we got Clifton Suspension Bridge.
John Wesley Chapel, it's...
Yeah, John Wesley Chapel.
Well, you know, Lawrence, if we will go there, it's mostly for you guys. But
thank
you anyway.
So we'll take you there, and also, when we went to the George Muller Foundation, we also visited George Muller's grave. And it was really unkept, the headstone was all rocky. And so we told them, because we tidied the grave up, and we got rid of all the brambles so that people could see his grave properly, and we took pictures and we showed them at the foundation, and they offered to give us £300 a year to maintain it, and we said, no, if we're going to do it, we'll just do it, you know. But because he was a great man, and just to let his grave rot over like that, I thought was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
We have the book and we can learn a lot from the book.
Yeah. And to see the places is quite faith building, to see that the college, they're now turned into colleges. So, or is it a college or a university?
No, it's colleges.
It's, and they're massive, massive houses.
Well, one of them is.
And so Danny went there, he's done a training on carpentry. But now he's a tiler.
Right.
He changed from being a carpenter to a tiler. So, yeah. So
well, you know, when Kim was sharing about how God worked in you, with you for that house, that reminds me a story happened like 20-some years ago when this believer is no longer in Portugal, but he started moving the word in Portugal and making classes in Portuguese. And he was living outside Lisbon, not very far. And we went to his fellowships and we start doing things with him. And once he called me and said, Pedro, I would like to take you with me to a place, because I saw a house that I was thinking buying it for having a place to the believers meeting and to do classes and everything. And I said, okay, sure, we can go there and see how it looks. And the guy goes and tells me, well, it's a small town called Zebra. And I go, what? That's my grandparents' village, you know?
Oh, yeah,
that's funny. So we went there, and it was funny because when my grandmother died, her house get empty. Nobody was living there. So this cousin of my father asked him if he could use the house for an employee of him. And he will do some constructions to improve the house, because it was an old house. And I went there with my father, and just in front of the house, across the street, they were rebuilding a new house. And I asked this guy what they were doing there. And the guy says, oh, is some neighbor here is going to make a house for his daughter. She's going to get married, and he's going to make, on the ground floor, he's going to make a butcher shop.
Yeah.
So his son-in-law can have his business and everything. And I go, I didn't know the word there then. It was before I met Vida. And I go and I said to myself, talking with God, I wouldn't like to have a butcher shop in front of this house, because my father's style, everything was from my grandparents, unless the house, because I always liked that house, and I asked him not to sell it, maybe someday I could have it. And so when I went with David some years later to check the house he was going to buy, was that same house in front of my grandparents' house.
Wow.
And I was, you kidding me? You see that little house in front? That's my grandparents' house. You see that name on the stone behind, on top of the door? That's my grandfather's name. And it was a blessing because, of course, there was no butcher shop there. We just made it for a class house for believers, and we use my grandparents' house for lodge the believers there and for having meals, because we were like, sometimes Hannah was cooking for 56 person, you know. We were like, and later we moved living on that house too for years. And there's a place where it was a fireplace. That's why it came to my mind too. And it was funny because on those days I used to go to school like 8 or 8:30 in the morning. And when I came back home around 4 afternoon, I put ashes over the coal from the fireplace, and this still would have ashes, coals burning under the ashes, you know.
Yeah.
I just remove the ashes and make a new fire. Was like that all winter, you know. It was a real nice time we had there.
Wow.
And that's the last time we had a fireplace.
That's ridiculous.
But God can make things you don't even imagine. You know, it's like Ephesians 3:20. You know, He goes much behind our imagination. You know,
yeah.
I never saw that house would become the house for moving the word in Portugal, which has been for years and years. And we lived there too for many years. And we had wedding ceremonies there.
Yes, dresses.
And I was making the wedding dresses for the believers. And, well, like, I don't know, seven. Not every year, but during several years. It was a nice place. God turned lemons into lemonade, you know.
It's because I am a secretary, and, but doing those dresses, it was really with God's wisdom, because...
Yeah, that reminds me a lot of it.
And about Ephesians 3:20,
yeah.
I have something to share.
Go for it.
So, you all know that I started working 1 week ago, and... they always do this. They ask what we want to earn or to receive the salary, and then I told them, I believe it was with God this, I thought about it because I tell them no less than some amount, and then I was waiting to sign the contract, and I was thinking among several things. It's a blessing to have more money to do stuff, so we can put some aside, so we can go to France, to Bristol, to family camp, whatever, to share. And then I was, before I signed the contract, I was talking to Pedro, and I established that I would like to share or to bless someone with 100 euros every month.
Sure, forgive me, yeah.
Yeah, every month. It will be, I established it, no matter, I don't think about what they are going to pay to me, but I said, I'm going to do this, 100 euros each month.
Wow.
And then they gave me the contract to sign, and you know something, they gave me more 100 euros
more than
what I have asked for.
Wow.
I was talking to God, I want to do this, 100 euros to bless. So, and then when I signed the contract, I was, okay, but I didn't ask for this. More 100 euros, great. God was covering everything.
That's awesome.
So, bottom line, if you want to raise, don't ask your boss, ask God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I just got promoted as well.
Sorry, or take some godly decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That's the key.
Yeah.
I got promoted. I mean, being self-employed with God. I just got employee of the month. I gave it to myself.
You're right. No one better than you on that job.
Yeah. So I thought I'd give myself a promotion. for that, you know, for that. So I thank God. Not really joking.
Yeah.
What do you mean you always give yourself?
You know, this job is really nice because this work, because I work in the engineering and maintenance department, so it's only men.
Yeah.
I'm the only
She's guy happy. The, I'm not so happy. No, I'm kidding.
No, but I don't have problems. You know, sometimes when they are speaking, I have my own place. I'm not, I used to work there 3 years ago and I was with them in a huge room, but now I have my own. And then sometimes they forget and they start speaking like men, you know, dirty words, and, but I don't care, I don't, doesn't bother me. So, and
it's better than gossip.
Yes, it's better than gossip. And I can, to smoke we came outside, so I smoke near the guys from maintenance. You know, they are all dirty. I go to the containers to have coffee with them and to eat something or to smoke a cigarette. And sometimes they are speaking. And I'm new, I'm getting, you know, there are more new employees there. So I'm knowing more people now, and I was talking to God. So let's see what's the opportunity that I will have to speak with someone. And there is some guy from a village near. We are talking a little bit more, and he used to be really quiet and shy, but now he's speaking. Who knows what God has there for me?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. But most of them, the old ones, they know that I'm not a Catholic, I believe God, but they it's not new for them.
They know you, yeah.
Yeah.
And they like you.
Yeah.
That's great. How's it been going for you, Pedro?
Oh, I'm vacation now. I'm no school finished for this week. I'm home now for until New Year. So I'm fine. I'm doing my stuff at home, you know, going to the garage, doing my hobby stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm blessed. I take Hannah to job because her car is going to the mechanic just for checkup, regular, no big deal. So I'm driving her and picking her from her job, so that's fine. And everything is going smooth, which is nice.
That's a blessing. How about you, Cindy? How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing okay, one day at a time.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I don't have any plans right now. I'm just kind of not doing anything till I decide to do something. I mean, I'm just letting, you know, I don't know. It's just a time to not do anything for, you know, after New Year's, I'm going to start thinking about things, you know. But I mean, I don't know. I just one day at a time. There's stuff that happens. Like yesterday, I got this bill for like $1,500 in the mail from like last February from a patch can reset, and I'm like, what is this? And when I prayed about it, God told me, you know, Medicare. So when I called them up today, they didn't have his Medicare number, and they never billed it in all this time. And they send me this bill and say, you know, this is seriously overdue, and we'll send it to collections. And I'm like, this is the first time I ever saw this bill.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's been for the past 10 months, but I've never seen it. But anyway, that got all taken care of. So I don't know, little things like that, that, you know. There's some kind of how do you say that? There's some kind of a virus trying to take advantage of me, and I've just been worshiping God and praying and just, you know, trying to keep my focus on God.
Yeah.
You know, walking around singing the In the Name of Jesus, I Have Authority song and stuff, you know.
Amen to that.
No plague shall come near your dwelling. Yes. You know, 1,000 will fall at your left, 10,000 at your right, but it's not going to come near unto you. You know, it's got no right there.
That's right.
So we just rebuke this virus out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Virus and Cindy, you leave. You've got no authority there, no business there. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Healthy and strong.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Well, bless your heart, darling. I mean,
I'm blessed that I'm in a position that I don't have to do anything right away. Yeah. I mean, you know, that I can just just like take time to figure out, you know, and God will show. I feel like God will show me, but right now I'm just supposed to be taking some time to mourn. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you do that, sweetie, and that's right.
But I worship a lot too. I don't just sit around mourning all this time, you know. I worship at the morning and you know, study and stuff. I'm not just sitting there like quiet all the time or something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we focused on God so much. I feel like Bruce got so focused on it that, you know, he just was really at peace, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Are you, have you got family that you're going to for Christmas, or are you going to be staying at home?
It's just Chris and I. We bought the tree up yesterday, but we haven't put it up yet. We have a tree that already has lights on it.
Right.
And that's probably about all we're going to do. We were talking about possibly going to the mall on Christmas Eve and then maybe going, I don't know. I'm thinking about going to church. I haven't been in a church in a while, though, with Bruce being sick, you know. We haven't really. I don't know, we were talking about a movie, maybe a movie, so I don't know what we're going to end up doing.
Yeah.
Probably something unconventional.
Well, Cindy,
just like something, you know.
Our thoughts are definitely in our prayers are with you, and that's for sure, and, you know, and God is the great comforter. He comforts us in all of our, you know, tribulation, mental pressures, and losses, and, you know, and thank God that we do, you know. I know it's easy to say, but we do have that hope of Christ's return. But, you know, it's just that period of grieving now, which is important for you. And just taking your time, like you said, and I think you're very wise, and God is working in you greatly. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at peace. I know Bruce was at peace in the end. I think he wanted to keep fighting, and, you know, he had a lot of faith and everything, but I think he also wanted to just, like, he knew it would be all right, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, he got so focused on God, I think he just was, that's where his focus was, you know? Yeah. And he just kind of said, I've had enough of this suffering stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think kind of happened at the end. I think he just was like, okay, you know. I mean, but we were always focusing. We were always worshiping and watching teachings and everything. He was always really blessed. So yeah, I know he that he really blessed.
He said that he listened to all those teachings we put up on the blog, on the, you know, on the, where you can download them.
Yeah, he did.
Every single, and there's over 100, maybe 184 or something like that, I think there is. No, that's what we've done this year. We've done the teachings that we put out on the website this year, I think have been over 104, if I'm correct, maybe more than that. But I think on the where you can download, and there's way over 100 on there. And so, you know, when I look back, you know, how God's worked in us and what he's done, it's a real blessing. So, and I'm really blessed that, you know, he listened to them. How did you get onto the teachings anyway? I never quite figured that one out. Like, you know, how did you get to know us, Cindy? Was it Nancy?
I think Nancy told him.
Yeah.
And then he kind of brought me into it, but I think it was Nancy.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's wonderful, Nancy. I think she'd be on. She's just come back. She had an appointment at the High Hospital, and they went out for some lunch, and she said she's making her way home now, so I think she will be joining us, which is great. And, welcome also Chrissy. But, yeah, carry on, Cindy, if there's anything more you want to share, darling.
I don't know. That's about it. There's, you know, things that have to be handled. I'm going to have to deal with the RV. I'm going to have to deal with the house. But, I don't know. I'm just trying to be chill about it.
Yeah.
But I felt about it after I paid, because at first I was thinking, oh, I can't afford this house, so I have to sell it. And then when I was praying about it, I felt like God was telling me, you know, if you go somewhere else, it's not going to be much cheaper. So as long as you stay in Michigan, just stay where you are.
Yeah.
So I talked to my bank guy about it, and he's like, yeah, that's right. Just stay where you are. But, you know, So that's kind of, you know, I think we're going to end up being here for a while before I do anything. And then I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do after this, you know. I feel like God will show me what he wants me to do when the time comes, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not going back to work right away. You know, I'm just going to do everything when I know it's the right time.
Yeah, that's really wise. And
I'm blessed that I can do that. I mean, yeah. I have to, you know, thank God for that.
Yeah, amen to that. I was sat down yesterday in the office, Cindy, and I was just praying about some stuff, and it was just like come to mark that God says, no, sometimes we just have to be patient for certain things, and that in the meantime we just keep keeping him first and not focus on things that are down the road, but expect it's taken care of, you know. And that just really put a lot of great peace in my heart, like real peace come to me, and it's like, you know, don't be concerned about this, don't be concerned about that, what's happening here, what's happening there, one day at a time with me. And I just had so much peace come to me by, you know, meditating upon those things and giving them to God. Like, you know, because I just say, God, what about this and what about that and how can I do this and how do you want me to give and serve? And then God just like, you know, be still. Just, you'll know. You'll know when the time's to do the things that you need to do.
That's what I do. I mean, if I start feeling anxious or anything, I'm like, God, you take this. You know, just tell me what to do when I need to do it. I just am not going to spend my time, you know, stuff like that. I know Satan would like that, but I'm not going to do that. So, I'm sure he'd like me to be all anxious, but I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm grieving, but I'm also at peace, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. You got that comfort of God there, and that's just really fantastic. And bless your heart for joining us here as well on the Skype Fellowship.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, Chrissy, God bless you. Are you there, darling?
I think she said she couldn't talk. I saw her message.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I probably didn't read it correctly. I quickly looked at it and just put bless you to acknowledge that I knew she was on. So, I got very inspired. I had brought this little camcorder from Amazon. It was about £22 for the computer. And I thought, I'll give this a little test out. And then I just pressed record and I just started to get inspired. And I put the video sharing up on the website, on YouTube, and on the Facebook, and there's quite a few people that look, I think over 600 people on Facebook has viewed that now, and quite a few on the YouTube, and also within my website, and it's amazing when we just do what God's putting in our hearts to do. It's like, you know, because God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he inspires us what to do, and sometimes that just comes to us by way of false ideas. Oh, hold on, I'll stop. We'll listen to Kim's clock a minute. Here we go.
I've shared with some people on Twitter. They could end up showing up here, we'll say. I've invited a couple of them.
Oh, great. Just listen to her clock a minute. Get that out of the way. She sat there with a big smile on her face, and it annoys me to anything. My old fashioned UK wife.
There you go.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back to what I was sharing. So yeah, I just got very inspired and I realised that, you know, when we just keep God first and focus on him and just do those things that come to our heart, like he's working in us, he's energising us and he's guiding us. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, you know, like if you think that when he got born again, he conferred not with flesh and blood. He done the things that God put in his heart. He didn't go to the old believers to get their permission to do anything, but he was led by God. And when Kim was sharing about the testimonies, and when I've been looking back on the few things that God has done in our past and what he's doing now, you know, we can really believe God for not just our own needs and not just the needs of others, but we can really believe God for the laborers. You know, like when Jesus Christ said, no, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he was sent forth labourers. We can believe God to reach out to believers that may be isolated on their own, bring them together, we can reconcile there and help them and minister. We can believe God to open doors to speak his word to those that are sat in darkness and the shadow of death, that we can preach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Like, God wants us to go to him for the works that he's before ordained that we should walk in them. So when we go to God and Father, what is the works that you've got for me to do? And Father, you open the doors and you show me, you lead me and guide me. I will do what you want me to do. And Anna said it earlier on, you know, once we make a decision that we're going to get on it and we're going to get focused with God, then he can go to work. But it is a decision, you know, that we make with God, that Father, this is my focus. I want to live unto you. And going back to themes, you know, like 2017, me and Jason was talking last night about it, that in 2017, the theme that we set was live unto God. You know, so that we decide to live unto God, to move with him and to be led by him. And then this year was the just shall live by faith. If you're going to live unto God, you're going to have faith in God, right? You're going to have to put your confidence and your expectations on him. And then the new year theme for 2019 is newness of life. So to, if we're living by faith, we will be walking in that newness of life. We won't be allowing our old man nature to resurrect itself in any way. You know, because we have been delivered out from the exercise authority of Satan. He has no power, he has no authority over us whatsoever. Now he will try to come on in through his systems, through the negatives, through the whispers of this world, through different voices. But if we respond to those things through our old man nature, that's when we get defeated. That's when he can make his inroads. But when we respond out of the new man, the Christ in us, the hope of glory, this is what we're to manifest to the world. We're to manifest the Christ in us, the hope of glory, to touch people with the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, which brings deliverance. So even though we believe God daily, weekly and monthly for our own specific needs in our life and direction, we should really, you know, also focus, priority really is God. Like, Father, what is it you want me to do? Father, I'm willing to learn and to listen and to move in your flow, in your direction. And that's really seeking first the kingdom of God, because we all have needs in different areas. But God, you know, he, when we put him first, he supplies those needs so that we can carry out our word and ministry of reconciliation. So I'm really looking forward to what God's going to work in your heart and in my heart in the coming year, in, you know, coming into the new year, unless Jesus Christ gathers the church before then. You know, as we move on.
Be awesome.
really desiring from God. You know, and that hope of Christ's return really should energize us and should show us the importance of reaching out to those that are sat in darkness. Because if you think about people that are not born again right now, they're heading straight for hell. Satan has a legal authority over them. But that should give us an urgency of the times that we're living in and the present truth that we're living in, that today is the day of salvation and that we got this word and ministry of reconciliation, we got the Spirit of God, we got the authority of God, we got a relationship and a direct access with God, and we can really move in power. Could someone mute their mic, please? So God really wants us to look to him and make him the first priority. First priority in doing the Father's business. Because Jesus said, you know, I'm about the Father's business. And that's what we should really focus our attention on. All these other things are there to distract us, to get our focus and attention off what really matters. So yeah, we got our jobs, we got our different work, we got our families, we got our grandchildren, if you got grandchildren. We got our sons and daughters, and we take care of them. But we want to live our best life now. And God says today, like, you can live your best life today. And it isn't dependent upon what we got or what we haven't got. Because, you know, when we're looking to him, he will really come through for us. And, like, that's why we share our testimonies. And really to share your desire. Like, it's good that each of you, and this is just an encouragement from my part, is to share your desires with all of us. Like, what is your desire? I know that we got things that we're dealing with or, you know, organizing in our life right now, but really, what is the desire that you want to do for God? And I can remember in India, these guys in India, I went to a leaders meeting a couple of times in January when I went to visit India, and these guys would get up and they'd share their desire. So they would share what they wanted to do for God, how they wanted to see the word move, what they wanted to do in their work for God. And when I went back the next year, or maybe 6 or 7 months later, these guys would come back and they would share, last year, at the beginning of the year, I shared my desires. And now, I had no fellowship when I began, but now I have this many in my fellowship. And this miracle's happened. And you know what? These wonderful things that I learned in India is not exclusive just for Indians or Nepalis, but it should happen for all of us, and it can happen for all of us. And it's all about desire. It's all about, you know, saying what our desire is. We tell Father our desire, and he's the one that's put the desire there, and we let other people know, this is my desire, this is what I want to see happen. And then we go to God with that desire, and we beseech, you know, we lovingly implore God, Father, I want to see my fellowship grow. I want to see outreach and growth. I want to see people come from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, you know. And, you know, this is God's desire. And God really is happy when we do that. So, and you don't need to belong to any ministry to do this. Because you belong to God. You are blood brought. Your life is not your own. It belongs to God. And then when we recognize that, but God is so great that he's given us all free will choice to make our decisions on how we want to live and move. But once we decide, this is what I'm going to do, I'm not going to look to a ministry, I'm not going to look to a man or a woman, but I'm going to look to the one true God, and I'm going to desire his work for me, whatever realm that plays out in. And when we do that, then God will bring that desire to pass, because our focus is on him. And really taking time every day to beseech God, to go to him, and then look for the open doors. Like, God's going to open doors for you that no man can open and no man can shut. And then he'll bring you around the people that will be able also to encourage you, inspire you, you know, because he's brought us to a one body of Christ. So when we decide that we're going to really live unto God, and we decide that we're really going to have our focus with him, and that we're going to do whatever he shows us to do, then when we decide that, he goes to work. Because from our own effort, we can't really achieve what God wants us to have. We can't produce spiritual fruit from a five-sense mind or heart, or from doing things in our own effort or our ability. You know, in Zechariah, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, like, you know, God says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, right? It's by the spirit of God that he directs us into the works that he's before ordained. And when our, you know, when we're focusing on the new man in us, and we're walking in the newness of life. I looked up the word newness of life, and it's there twice in Romans 6 that we're to walk in newness of life because we've been enabled to walk in newness of life. We're new, we're a new creation, and it also says to serve in newness of life. So our job is to serve, and we serve God by serving others, by reaching out, by praying to him, and that he'll open the doors where we are, and that, you know, we can focus right where we are and together, and then God will start to give direction and flow. And again, I was so blessed that you shared that, Cindy, that you shared the link for the fellowship, encouraging other people. Because there's many people in the body of Christ that are isolated, you know, that are really desiring to do the things, but they may be bound by tradition, which is man's doctrines, rather than going to the one true God and letting him lead and guide. or they may be, you know, in fear because of things that may have happened in their past. So there's a lot of believers that need to be reminded of who they are and that God is with them, that he loves them, and that we can encourage one another, you know. So this is what I really wanted to share for tonight. Kim's going to teach later on. I know Jason's got something in his heart he wanted to share. But before we even get there, I would really like to hear Nancy. God bless you, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. God bless you.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi, darling. God bless you.
I'm back. I'm eating a hard-boiled egg. That was my lunch, Lawrence, the hard-boiled egg. I just walked in the door.
Oh, bless you, darling. I thought you was going out for food, so.
I went for groceries.
Ah, right. Yeah, I see. I
tried for 2 days to get into the supermarket, and there was not a parking space.
Oh, no.
Oh, today I got in.
Great.
So I had to get stuff, you know, this holiday crap is coming too quickly for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to get myself in the mood for it, you know, and I'm kind of getting there now, but it'll be over in 2 days, so once it starts.
Well, it's not that so much. It's just tying up loose ends when so many other things have been going on. And then I was out of commission because I was determined to stay home and rest. Yep. Getting over this cold. So that's what I did, and today was the first day I really, you know, I ventured out yesterday, but it was unproductive and came right home. So I'm just taking it easy, and I did not want to go in on the weekend. I thought, that's insanity. So pretty much we're done, you know.
Oh, that's good.
I'm just looking forward to doing nothing.
Yeah.
And the kids are all coming. They're going to be here, but we're going to keep it low-key and fun.
Yeah.
And just, you know, more so into just being the Word.
Yeah.
And amen. That's it. So I think Scott went upstairs, and I don't know if he got signed in yet. He had his Kindle out. But so that's it. But it's a year for everybody that, a lot of challenges came up, so we're just wishing everybody a peaceful New Year.
That's
the rotisserie chicken just walked in.
Yeah, we're keeping it very simple.
Excuse me, I'm gonna mic me.
Okay, no problem. Yeah,
so I don't cough on everybody.
We're just keeping things very simple here this holiday season, and just being together with the family and
okay, you know. I'm back.
Okay, you're done, are you?
Bless you. Everybody else doing good?
Yeah, we're all good here. Anybody
yeah,
else?
We're fine.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Bless you.
Hi. Good to hear everybody's voice. That's what's important right now. You know, just sticking together.
Yes.
I'm blessed to know that everything was okay with you. Procedure. It's good.
Yeah. My doctor is amazing. He said he's going to have all his patients call me up.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people freak out. And it's like, I said, fine, whatever. You know, people have a lot of fear or something they don't understand and they've never had before. And I said that, you know, it's funny because if you go in with the right attitude, everything seems to work out fine. So...
Yes.
You know,
right.
A lot of unknown in life, and you just, that's where the trust comes in.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, that's that. Keep Mike DiGiorgio in prayer. He may have to have a procedure done on his back. He's had problems from an injury a long, long, long time ago. And, it's got to be corrected now because it's gotten a little worse. So in the meantime, we're still believing that it just turns around and everything works out good.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a big week coming up for everybody, and I hope everybody's got somebody to be with. And if not, you know, there's always Skype.
Yeah.
And we just hear the little beep come through and everybody kind of runs to check it at some point, you know. So We had a great fellowship at Sal's on Friday night. It was Adrian's birthday, and we got to just, you know, share some gifts and everything, but it was quiet, and the teachings are pretty much all the same. Everybody's teaching the same thing.
Wow.
And, you know, who you are, and you get out there and share the word.
Praise God, that's awesome.
And we just, we had a really nice, quiet time, so, and I'm believing that's going to go right into the new year.
Mm. That's awesome, newness of life, and it's so
and
great
how God works. That's my take.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome, yeah, let's see.
I'm done with those noisy New Year's. And noisy, you know. It's
yeah.
Nice to relax and hang out with people.
Yeah, watch same
man. Oh, my Kindle just okay.
We have friends coming this weekend, Matt. Chris's friend, who was also a very good friend of Bruce's, and Alyssa are coming, and we're going to go out to dinner with them. And Chris and I are just going to hang together on Christmas. You know, it's been a crazy year, and we're just going to, we don't know what we're going to do. We're still trying to figure that out. I think it's between a movie or walking around the mall.
Yeah.
And then I like to go to midnight service, too, but I haven't been in church in a while because, well, you know, we've just been watching church at home with Bruce, so I don't know. I'm still thinking
I know. I felt the same way last week. It was strange going to my cousin's funeral. He was my maid of honor.
Yeah.
But they did it so tastefully. The whole entire thing was an hour and a half.
Wow.
Start to finish. They didn't have like a big wake, and that was the whole thing. You went in, they had about an hour, 3 o'clock, the minister came in and shared some really neat things and scriptures, and that was it. A half an hour, and it was, you know, what her life meant to everybody, and it was just a sweet way to do it. So, you know, the kids are still having some issues, and of course her husband, but
hey Nancy,
you get through it.
I was going to say the Christian Family Fellowship website on a Sunday,
yeah.
For those that are listening, they do a Sunday morning service, which is about, what's it, 11 o'clock, maybe 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock UK time, and you can actually, they actually live stream. So if you wanted to join the service, they do it there. And those guys are lovely people. We've been there and visited them. Tonya Schroyer, Kevin Gigu, Sarah Gigu.
You both.
Yeah, we taught there as well. We got the blessing to teach there. And they're just wonderful people. They got great heart. They got lots of resources on there for teachings and stuff like that. And to... If you want to work the word and study the word, they got loads of stuff in their classes. So they're really great guys, and they've been a blessing to our lives over the year. In fact, they've ordained us. They recognized our ministries. We both got certificates here from them to recognize that. In fact, I was blessed because when John Schroyer was alive, and with Wayne Clapp and all those guys, they all signed it. And then the next one I got was when they done Kim's ordination, when we visited there, and they signed it. So I got two certificates from them with John Schroyer's on it. So that blessed me. But those guys have been so great. They come here many years ago when we come out of the old ministry. And, you know, nobody wanted to do nothing. In fact, all the people that were here have stopped doing anything for many years now. But John Schroyer come over, and we all met up, the old believers that were here at the time. And he really encouraged us. He was a great man of God, and he really had a great effect on my son, Danny. And Danny, my boy, went over there a couple of times, and he really encouraged Danny. He loved him to bits. And Danny, you know, when John fell asleep, Danny was inconsolable. When Nancy Banios, when she fell asleep, when I rung Danny to let him know, he broke his heart, didn't he, love?
Yeah.
And that was not a year ago or so. So,
That's about a year now.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more.
Yeah, and those guys were just treasures. I mean, they are, I'm not promoting a ministry here, but these guys are wonderful people with fantastic hearts, and, you know, they got some great teachings on there as well, some old ones. But I think they just revamped their website. But, yeah, so you can go there.
They actually did. They did. The only thing I had problems with was, you know how, like, I would go into the website and listen to the Sunday's teaching every week.
Yeah.
And then I could stop it in the middle and leave it, come back to it, and then, or rewind it a little if I needed to. I haven't been able to do that. I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Sent Tanya a text and let her know that it doesn't seem to be user-friendly anymore.
Yeah, I tried it as well, and it's a little bit awkward now, but I was going to do the same, but I'll let you do it. You can say that I tried it as well.
Right.
But those guys are great, and so, like, you know, there's a great big body of Christ out there. There's people that really want to move with God, people that are really desiring, and, you know, we can all move together, guys, and we really can. And this is so great that we got this Skype fellowship. I am so thankful to God for all of you guys on there, and you give me so much encouragement. And Kim and Jason, we're very thankful to God for you and through anyone that connects with us. You know, we're the body of Christ, and, you know, we're to love one another and to walk in that new man. We can encourage and, you know, thank God for God, and thank God for Jesus Christ, thank God for the scriptures, thank God that he's working in us, and that we can really appreciate, and we are family. You know, spirits thicker than blood. And we are family. We should be able to open up our hearts and be free in the things we say and allow God to work in us. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention, sorry, Natch, I didn't mean to cut in on you, love, but it just reminded me.
No.
Yeah.
I agree with you totally. And the thing is that they have become, they are so involved with so many ministries out there.
Yeah.
You know, different groups, even within their town, and everybody's accepting of each other, and they don't compromise.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, they don't. You know, a lot of things you just have to table, because it's like foolish and unlearned questions avoid. If people don't understand it, there's no point beating a dead horse. But even their children now have branched out. Kristen is out in California, and she studied with a Trinitarian ministry, but they know where they stand, their ministry here in Ohio.
Yeah.
And they are very accepting and loving, and they just adore her. And she's out there doing, like, it's like a missionary work.
Okay.
They're going out to different areas. I think she's going someplace international. I don't know, but they're doing food banks, and they're helping people on the street. And it has nothing to do with CFF, and that's where her daughters decided God's called her to.
Wow.
So it's not division, you know, it's working together. And the times are evil, we know that, and it's time to do this and move together. And, you know, I talked about it with a couple people over the last month, because I have a guy that's really sweet, helps out Harrison a lot, and I had a conversation with him about, you know, the Trinity came up, and I said, the bottom line is he's the Son of God, and that's what I believe. And we kind of left everything at that, and he said, well, I believe that. And I said, well, and that's it.
You know,
and we're all still learning, but the important thing is to do the works of Christ.
That's it,
You know, heal the sick, cleanse.
Okay, so, like I said, with that, I know Jason's got a few things he wants to share, so
Kim Hiley's on.
Oh, God bless you, Kim Hiley. Welcome, brother.
Hi, Kim. God bless you.
All right, Kim, you're on mute.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Nancy. God bless you, darling.
Okay, I'm back.
Bless your heart.
That didn't take long.
Good.
No, it's just if I use my cell phone, it's a problem.
Okay. Yeah, my phone's all right sometimes, but the battery goes down pretty quick. So, all right, well, Kim Hiley, are you there? Bless you, bro, you're off now.
Oops, Scott's here too, just so you know.
Bless you, Scott. Love you.
Hey, God bless.
How you doing?
Good. I had early in the week a little oral surgery, some tooth extractions, and but it's healing up nicely. So the muscles in my jaw get a little sore when I talk for too long. But I'm doing good. Everything's healing nicely. No more pain.
Wow, praise God. That's good. Good
thing. I did some self-administering, and it really helped.
So I prayed for you, too. All he wants for Christmas is his two back teeth.
Okay. There's nothing worse than tooth stuff, you know?
No, and that, it's true. It just bothers you and bothers you. Clove oil, folks. It helps a lot. And it's antibiotic grade, so.
Yeah, that's right.
When you really, if you have a problem, it'll help numb it and get you to the right place.
Yeah, that's very true.
If anybody has things that they want to have prayed for, maybe at the end of the fellowship, if everybody posts what they want, then we can all write them down individually.
Yeah.
And keep it on our, keep our list going.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, prayer list. And also, if there's anything you want prayed for, which is long term, like something you're believing for, then just also you can write that down and, you know, we can add it to our prayers. Like, you know, one of the big things in my heart is to really see our fellowship grow, not just on the Skype, but also, internationally, Europe, all of which we want to see new people. I want new people. And, that, you know, because there are people out there that are really hungry and desiring. And we really focus with our ideas, but those people are focused because we know we're going to be paid for giving what they need. So that's one thing on my prayer list is for really great open doors. And for more people to, especially within the body, to overcome these little disagreements. And these little disagreements is because it's the old man coming in. You know, and we might not agree with people, but we can still walk in love. And we can still, you know, put things on the side. And this is something very important. And when someone, you know, walks in love and walks in forgiveness, they release themselves from anything that's holding them back. You know, like if I hold resentment in my heart against someone, you know, then I'm just opening up the door for the enemy to bring stuff on me, you know? So,
right.
To be free, to be set free in these areas, but to hold the line on the word, you know, and to walk in love, then we can't go wrong, you know? So this is something that I want to see healing within and healing without, you know, amongst people, because, like, the adversary's had his way far too long with this division crap, and it's time it stops. And,
well, the other thing too, Lawrence, is that if people post something at the end of the fellowship, then we've all got the list. A lot of times things get posted during the week and we don't necessarily see it because we're not near Skype.
Yeah.
Or we Skype, but like I'll be making phone calls and I'm getting beep, 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 beep. And if somebody needs it in the interim, they can always private message us on Facebook,
yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's good.
Pass it on.
Okay, so with that, I'm going to ask Jason. Jason's got something he wants to share, and then Kim's going to do the teaching. So, Jason, would you like to share what was in your heart, bro?
Okay, yeah, sure.
If you can't hear him, just say. Can't hear you. No, I'm joking.
What? I can't hear you. What did you say?
Right, go on then, bro.
God bless you, everyone. Great to hear all your wonderful voices again. And many thanks to God for inspiring us the way he does, because iron sharpens iron and everything everyone says is just contributing to all of our growth. I had a very interesting week with God. And basically on Monday night, as I let down the weight of these girls, I just began praying. And
somebody mute their mic, please.
And
I mean, I always pray for everybody anyway before I go to sleep and when I wake up in the morning and things, and I'm praying through the day. You know, sometimes it can be easy to get into routine prayers, and I'm always careful to step back so it's not just routine, it's from the heart, because the prayers from the heart are really what count, and the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So usually I pray before I go to bed, but this time I went to bed and I laid down and then started praying. And as I prayed, I paused, and rather than praying like I usually do, I just began to slowly open my heart and pour out all the contents for the first time in a long time. Like I said, I got into this routine thing, but then I had to break from that, because there are things, and God knows what's in our hearts before we do, and he's just given us a nudge just to open our heart to him so that he can go to work for us. And often I'm not thinking about things I need, I'm thinking about other things. But God wants us sometimes just to stop and say what's really in our hearts. And I said to God, I was saying to God where I'd blown it that day. And, you know, God's fine with us saying, you know, okay, I know I blew it here, Lord. Please forgive me for that. And then we just thank him for that forgiveness, which is me. And you know, forgiveness, Lawrence was just talking about, funny enough, and that was on my heart as well. To forgive anyone we've got anything against is such an amazing thing. We've got the power to forgive people. Because if we're in Christ Jesus, he had the power to forgive sins on his earth. We've got the same power to forgive sins. It's an authority we've got. So I say, I release that person, they're forgiven. I'm not holding it against them. And what we end up doing is releasing ourselves. Because we're carrying a burden all the time, we're not forgiving somebody for something. But the moment we forgive, we've let go of that burden. So then it was as though burdens were lifted off me, basically, completely. Then Tuesday night happened. I'd gone through my day's work. I had a great day's work. I'm walking around like a king. And, you know, I'm walking around my hometown like a king is walking around my hometown. Because we reign in this life as kings through one Christ Jesus, right? And either we believe that or we don't. And I was just getting this real sense that, yeah, I'm royalty, man. And anybody else want to be royalty? Come on, come and join me. Else I haven't got time, I've got to keep going. So I got through my work, and at the end of the day I said to God, direct my evening, Lord, I want you to direct my evening. Gone home, and just did what things were coming to my heart to do. And once I'd got everything done and dusted for the day, I had to message Lawrence what happened next. I said, wow, Lawrence, I finally was ready to settle down tonight, having done all I needed to do before sleep. And Father inspired me to sit and pray. So God inspired me to just sit down and pray. Well, before that, he was already directing my evening as I had asked him to be before coming home from work. Everything clicked into place with bits and pieces of old nature still trying to remind me of who I was. Anywho, I still sat down quietly. I knew I was in his presence. That's the important key, in his presence, right? Maybe some time ago, and many times in my life before, I would come into his presence with lack of confidence and beating self up. I was only approaching Father with old nature attached still. Tonight, or Tuesday night, as I have been learning, finally I prayed with peace, knowing that I am in his presence, and it was so easy. I asked him for wisdom and understanding in all things where I need it. I prayed for everyone that I always pray for, and then I will listen. This was my plan. I will listen to Walk in Newness of Life, the teaching on the part of the other day. So I ended up with just my phone to listen on and relax back
just listening and nothing else. Normally I take about a ton of notes on the teaching. Or I'm checking Bible verses, I'm checking the Greek or something like this to get more understanding. But I said to God, I'm just going to sit back and listen. And that's going to be it. Then I'm going to go to sleep. God had different plans. He had another idea. He says, you want to bet? So I said, you know, that's what I said to God I'd do. I got not more than about 5 minutes through, and I was thinking on how I was in his presence, and I ended up writing what he impressed upon my heart, which is that the whole reason, I mean, I saw this clearly, more clearly than anything. It was like in a split moment of time, he just showed me, bing, look at this. And I thought, wow, it completely wowed me, it blew me away. I didn't want to leave where I was. But he impressed upon my heart that the whole reason that there is no sense, that we can have no sense of sin, guilt or condemnation within us when we come to God, is simply because those things do not exist in God's presence, ever. When you think of God, he's not surrounded with those things. Which is why he encourages us to come into his presence so that he can take care of the things we cannot take care of. We're still on this earth. Which is why we need to enter his presence as often as we can. We could be in the scriptures a whole lifetime and never be in his presence. Or maybe fleeting moments of being in his presence. And even walking in the power. Yeah, we're in his presence, but are we really understanding it? The fullness of it? And yeah, I've been down that road. So, that is exactly why Splitfoot, as I'd rather call him than his proper name, cannot abide, nor can any of Splitfoot's spirits ever abide in God's presence. Because all the sin came from Splitfoot. Packed out to the rafters with guilt and condemnation. They all came from the enemy. They didn't come from God. That's why that's not around God. And it shouldn't be in us. It's only because of the fall of Adam that it's in us. In the first place. No wonder the great Apostle Paul, there's so many things that he spoke on. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look just glance briefly at some of the things the Apostle spoke about. He must have understood this so clearly that nothing moved him in his heart and mind from who he was in Christ. Nothing ever fazed him. I mean, he died three times and was risen back up again. He went through three shipwrecks. He was flogged in the street. He was beaten. He was thrown off a cliff. He still bounced back from all of that. And it didn't stop him from still preaching the gospel and walking in the power. And why? He understood about the presence of God and who he really was in Christ. And, you know, some of the things he came out with. Therefore, we are always confident knowing... Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's an important key as well. We don't walk by what we can see, smell, hear, taste, or touch on this earth. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be present, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Because he knew, he understood the fullness of this. He understood it so crystal clear. There's no way he could have missed it. And wherefore we labor, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. His heart was just to be present with the Lord. We know from Romans chapter 7, verse 18, that no good thing dwells in the flesh. It's so easy to slip and walk by our five senses, walking in the old man nature in the flesh, and even come to God in the old man nature. It's so easy to do. But if we can grab onto that presence of God, grasp that clearness and understanding, and really ask him, show me what I need to understand, Lord. Give me the wisdom and understanding I need. I don't want to have all the wisdom and understanding God's got. That'd be too much for me to handle. I just want what I need. What he knows I need to have that will enable me to fully function on this earth the way he wants me to. You know, whether it's communicating with my brothers and sisters in Christ, or whether it's bringing more people in to be my brothers and sisters in Christ, whichever way it works, whatever he wants me doing, you know, it's like that relationship thing, come into relationship with God. And really, I can think I know that relationship, really, until I've been in his presence. I may have sniffed at it, and that's about it. I may have tasted of it. But the Apostle Paul said that no good thing dwells within the flesh, you know. And to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, not that we're all itching to die, but just how close Paul wanted to be to Christ is what this is all about. And, you know, while we're on this earth, we see through a glass darkly. We really do see through a glass darkly. We can't possibly see the fullness of it in these mortal bodies. We can get glimpses of it through the Holy Spirit. And again, it comes into line with coming into the presence of God. I want to go to Romans chapter 6 next. Lawrence was praying earlier, yeah, me and Lawrence were chatting last night, and on about 2017, we just shall live by faith. No, that was 2018, wasn't it? Live unto God. 2017 was live unto God. This is what God impressed on Lawrence's heart and the theme to run with, and we ran with that, and I'll just power on all the stuff we needed to be able to get us living unto God to begin with, turning our hearts back to God again. And for me, 2018, the Just Shall Live by Faith was a run on from that. So we get to know God, then we start living in that faith that he's called us to live in, that he's given to us, that we can live in through Jesus Christ. So what's the next thing? We need to understand the true heart of God, really. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we've heard Lawrence say this, therefore we are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We know we're transformed. We know it's like metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. When we're unbelievers, we're just going around devouring the whole. But when we become believers, we shouldn't be looking to devour everything. We should be looking to pollinate like a butterfly does, and to spread the goodness everywhere. Spread the goodness. We can preach gospel all day long. We can preach Bible all day long. But it's doing it with the love and the goodness of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we got that, bang, baby, you're going to see some amazing things happen. You're going to change people just by walking past. They're going to be blessed just because you walk past them. And sometimes people are going to look at you a bit cuckold, but they're not sure what they're looking at, but it's good. Because it's the image of Christ, it's the image of God in us. I want to go to Psalms as well. Part of this comes from working the teachings, and I was in Psalms this past week or so, and I looked at chapter 33 and had a quick glance in there. And I came across a verse, and in verse 11, I haven't read this one before, actually. And I thought, that's great. And it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. It stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. That shows me God's got heart. He's got heart. He's not just the God of their knowledge. He's a God of heart and compassion and love and mercy and grace in that heart. David David saw this and he grabbed onto it. The heart of God. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is newness of life. He gave Adam and Eve life. They were perfect in the Garden of Eden. Not a spot was on them, and God would come along every day. Hey guys, how you doing? How's the creation going? You know? And Adam, hey daddy, hey, well, God, you know. Adam gave away that. Adam gave it all away. Which is why we've been brought up into a world that's not. We haven't seen anything like what they had. Jesus Christ came to restore all things back into our hands so we can take the authority and dominionship back again, right? That was given away by Adam. And this is where sin, guilt, and condemnation came in. It wasn't there before Adam sinned. And it came in with the enemy, the devil. So that's why those things don't exist in the presence of God. You see? And, you know, after the fall, God was like hurt. He was like, well, where's my connection with my people? Psalms 16:11, I looked at as well. It was more of the heart of God. Thou wilt show me the path of life, not death, but life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Garden of Eden was the garden of pleasure. It really was. If you look it up, it comes down to the garden of pleasure. There was nothing but pleasure, pleasant things everywhere for man and woman. And if they hadn't sinned, we'd be in that realm. Hook, line, and sinker in the flesh as well as in every other area of our lives. We wouldn't have to renew our minds because our minds would be perfect. But now thank God for Jesus Christ, because what he's done in his sacrifice for us has enabled us to come into the presence of God fully. This is coming to the throne of God with boldness. We've got full access, guys. God's saying, I'm not withholding anything from you. Come to me. Let me show you the things I want you to see. And it really is an inside job. It's not about the things we can get, the possessions. That's nothing. They're all going to perish. What about your soul? What about your heart? What about your mind? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be under or over? Do you want to be above all the things that are attacking? Know they're under your feet. Smile, walking down the road. You know, no matter what the weather says, no matter what the people say. And there's so many schemes in this world now that we can either succumb to all the things of this world. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, oh, well, we could take a stand. And it's funny enough, back in Easter, I shared how I saw this van go past me with stand fast security written on the side of it. And it was with regard to family issues going on over Easter and things like this. And I was taking a stand against the systems of the world. And I'm doing the same now. And last night I was walking along the road and I saw that same van parked at the roadside. I've only ever seen it twice in my life, really. And those were the two occasions where it stood out to me. And I thought, oh, okay, Father, I see what you're saying again. Yeah, I'm just going to keep standing my ground as your son. And this is, you know, God's heart is for us to enjoy life and all the fullness of life as well. You see, when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God, God accepted Abel's but not Cain's. Why? Because sin lay at the door. You read the record, it says, God says, you know, when you do well, it's going to be well with you. But sin was at the door and God was not going to allow sin next to him. In his presence, there's no sin. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. So what it was with Cain, I don't know. It was an issue of some sort, but I don't know because it doesn't say in that. but you know the enemy was trying to sneak in. So once we know who we are in Christ, we know what God wants for our lives. He wants life, pleasures forevermore, fullness of joy. There's joy and peace in believing, right? It says in Romans. So God was just really crystallizing this to me. And this just came in a moment of time. And I had to type it to Lauren straight after. I'm glad I did because I'm reading out the part of it now. Paul, Peter, all these guys fully understood the experience of both the presence of sin, guilt, and condemnation, and the flip side of the presence of God, where there was no such thing there. God said, like, you know, and God will not allow any sin to enter into his presence at all. This is also why we needed a man without sin, Jesus Christ, to give his life for ours, because he is the only one who could get that close to God, because he was the only one that was perfect since Adam. Right? None of us can do it. We couldn't have done it. Gone by the law? Forget it, pal. You ain't got no chance. Whatever things we want to do ourselves to earn that, we can't earn it. It's got to be by grace, and God has to do the work in our lives. We can't figure it out. We've got to let him figure it all out, and we've got to let him lead us. And then we will be walking in the newness of life and in the Holy Spirit. It will flow with the scriptures. It will flow with the presence of God. Then we'll see how much authority we've really got over the enemy and all the systems of this world. And, you know, there won't be any schisms or divisions, because we'll all be just on the same page. Yeah. Right?
It's available.
It's available, it is. So that's what's really in my heart right now, to share.
Beautiful.
And
very good.
I got encouraged by this very much, and I want to encourage everybody else with the same. Go to God with whatever it is and just pour your heart out.
That's it. You know, we rush not against flesh and blood, and that was really wonderful sharing. And, you know, we just need to cease from our own works and let God lead, let God do the work, do the things that he puts in our hearts to do. And when we do that, then it'll be fruits unto righteousness. You know, we can't make anything grow off our own self. We might be able to do our, you know, get things organized, but we want it to flow with God's direction and blessing, and it's energized by faith. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, we know that there's an enemy there, so we don't allow those affections and thoughts and feelings affect us, and that we respond in the old man. But we know who we are in Christ. We take our stand, like Jason says, stand fast in that liberty where Christ has made us free. And we truly are free. And when Jason shared that with me, it really blessed me. And God's up, he's at work. He is at work. And like Nancy was sharing, lots of other people are teaching the same thing. So the Spirit of God is at work. People are listening. And when we're obedient to the voice of God, then we're blessed when we lie down, when we rise up, when we come in, when we go out.
Mm.
We're blessed in the field, blessed in the city, blessed in the soul. You know, those blessings will manifest so that we are those suns shining as lights in the crooked and perverse adversary kingdom. But we're above that. You know, and when we start to walk with God, people will see the Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they will want what you've got. They'll be drawn to you like moths to a light. And, you know, but God's going to do that in you. What God began, he will complete. He's going to finish in you. He's perfecting those things within us. It's not us. We're not so smart. But we just need to be humble, meek, and obedient to the voice of God. And the true gospel of Christ does bring that transformation. Our life should be changing from glory to glory to glory. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kim. I just need to move this a bit. Oh, just bear with me a second. There we go. I just need to put that there. Move this up here. And so with that, I'm going to stop the recording and then restart for